This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome to the Football Revolution, hosted by Gio, Jules and PK.
You are listening to the Football Revolution, hosted by Gio, Jules and PK. Thanks for joining us. It's been actually great weather in Sydney at the moment, so I'm guessing the boys have had fun. How are we, lads?
Doing really well. Good to be here on the FNR network, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia and around the world.
So how have you been utilising this beautiful weather, lads?
Well, I can tell you've been utilising. You look very tanned across
the studio.
That's
good, mate, for once in my life. Yeah, better than being Casper. So, look, it has been a big week, so let's get stuck into it. So, firstly, congratulations to Sydney FC for winning the W League.
Yep, saw that.
Very impressive couple of goals to save up for the final.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Look, I think also, you know, we've said quite often that we think Miranda Kerr, I was going to say, mate, get your head out of the gutter. Sam Kerr is the best player in the world, but Sydney just had too many weapons that cancelled her out. And like we said, I think some of those goals, McGaskill, she's fantastic. What an acquisition she's been for Sydney.
I do feel for Perth. It's three up, three down, trying to win their maiden W League title. I think they've been the side that has had to travel each time too. So it's getting harder and harder for them, and starting to try and break through and get that first one's got to be a real worry for them at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, as I said, all credit to Sydney FC.
What were your thoughts, and we'll probably touch on this a little bit later in the VAR, on Perth coaches Bobby Despotovsky saying the pitch was not up to scratch? Do we agree?
Yeah, I certainly agree. I mean, I know Jules is about to jump in there, but you know, we're going to play these finals at these venues, that the pitch needs to be in immaculate condition for a final.
Oh, look, he was fair when he said, but both sides had to play on it. So I think his comments didn't come from a bitter coach. I think it came from someone who was disappointed that the game of the year didn't get the credit it should have. And once again, I think the FFA missed a trick. We had Sydney FC playing at home. Why didn't we doubleheader it this week?
Yep. It doesn't need to be the burner vow, but when it only rates just above when West Sydney had their party and all the plastic glasses and stuff above it,
no,
it's a problem. So, yeah, look, we'll probably touch on that a bit later. W League ending, but the Victorian NPL kicked off on the weekend, and quite a few of our previous guests were in action.
Did any of them win?
No, I don't think they did, actually. I think South Melbourne had a big strikeout. Dandenong Thunder got pumped. And
who the other boys got on?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think who else there was.
A couple of draws.
No, I think Bentley Greens. So
they beat South Melbourne 3-1.
Yeah, so we had to have one winner.
We had a 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah, we had to have one winner there. Yeah. But look, it's really nice to get. It looks really strong this year, the Victorian Premier League.
Well, they're auditioning for a side, aren't they?
Yep, and then you've got the New South Wales NPL starting early March. Yeah, so there's a lot of there should be a lot of good games going on. A lot of players, as you said, Julesy, pushing to try and get their face or name in the shop window to get signed up by either the new Melbourne team, Melbourne United, or the new Sydney team.
West United? They're not carrying the Melbourne name in.
No,
there,
well,
are they?
They released their. I know you were whinging about it for a couple of weeks. They actually released their colours.
Oh, there you go. The green and black.
Green and black. Yeah.
Revolutionary.
That actually leads me to say, when you're talking about the Western United's new colours and new name and stuff, do you think there's any chance that there could be a team that joins based in either Bondi or Coogee? So I can go for a swim, I can have a beer, then I can go to the football. I'd be in heaven. This would be absolute heaven for me if we get a team there.
You'd be my vote for the coach. Put it that way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Look, I don't care.
Absolutely.
It could be Coogee FC, Bondi FC. It could even be Tamarama FC.
What about Coogee Pav FC? You're the president.
Yeah. Well, that would be the clubhouse, wouldn't it?
So, yeah, I'd love a team there. But, look, I think they're slowly doing this slow reveal, right? Each week they tell you a little piece of the puzzle. But, look, I do like the way they're trying to recruit. So we'll hold our judgment, I think, until we see a little bit more from the Melbourne-based club or the new Melbourne-based club.
I think it's funny that we're starting to see them try and sign on some big names and some players. We still don't know who's coaching him.
No, so they've announced
Rudan.
They've announced assistant coach, but not the head coach yet.
Rudan.
Is that your? Is that your?
He's struggling.
He'll do next year at Wellington, which covers the 2 year deal he had. Then it slides very nicely for him to come back home to Sydney and take over the new Western.
But he's struggling. He's struggling being away from his wife and his kids, though. Yeah. He's really struggling being away from the family.
Well, the room.
No, but I'm saying he's really struggling being away from them at the moment.
Well, Melbourne's not going to help, is it?
Well, maybe they're happy it's just 2 hours to move to Melbourne.
Yeah. So my mail tells me as well that Popovich has declined his contract extension as well. So they reckon he could be in talks for the new West Sydney or the MacArthur Sydney gig as well.
Without getting off track here, though, I know that...
You're sure there's not like Baklava United that want to get Tony Popovich back
in? I know you want to move back closer to where you're... But when you're at a team like Perth or Wellington and you're doing so well, would you jump off? I don't get this. Yeah. Stay on the train while you're doing well, because getting the right formula is bloody hard.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and the last thing, just before we get into find out what you've called this round, Julesy, is last week I mentioned that Phoenix opened up an extra stand to accommodate a big crowd. Take a bow,
yep.
The people of Auckland. 23,648 or 47 if you want to go to Macca's and buy a sundae. So it depends on which way you want to look at it. That's another ad I just can't stand at the moment. But anyway, what an atmosphere that is for the players.
Brilliant.
It was fantastic and was a really, really good game. The two sides haven't been separated all year. So end to end, it was exciting. It was a good... You know what? It was a good advertisement for football. And it's probably 12 months ago, we were saying Wellington, the bye round, were struggling to decide whether they'd have a licence.
Just before you jump, is this a get a Phoenix up here to the FFA? So they were complaining, saying, you need crowds, you need juniors, you need things. Is this a nice, quiet way of Wellington saying to them, go jam it?
I think it's a better way to start saying that New Zealand needs a derby.
I knew this would start you up.
Look at Auckland Knights. We look at it too when they play at Wellington. Sometimes, I don't know if it's just the way that Westpac Stadium is very open, but Eden Park's very condensed.
It is a closed.
But when Krishna scored, like, there was a loud roar. Like, I don't know if you guys were watching the... Like,
I think they were just thankfully scored.
Look, I don't know why we're so protective of the fact saying, but they're a New Zealand side, not Australian side. That's another, okay, you got your derbies, you got your like...
It's
you know,
market.
It's a trans-Tasman game, right? It's Australia versus New Zealand, which has always been a rivalry. That's another big game to promote each week or each year or whatever. I just don't understand why they're trying to squish it.
Yeah, I think if we're looking to expand, all of a sudden Auckland's throwing a hat in the ring again.
So match day 19, Julesy, what are you calling this round?
I've actually called this round the wheels.
The wheels.
The reason I call it the wheels is because the wheels are falling off for Adelaide.
The wagon wheels.
For the wagon wheels. Eat the wagon wheels. Yeah. The wheels are falling off for Adelaide. They're falling off for Melbourne City. And Sydney FC have got a couple of wobbles on their wheels. Mm. But the wheels just keep rolling forward for Perth.
No, and the wheels fell off for me because last week I got beaten by PK.
Well, you had no wheels. You had cubes.
Yeah, I was just rim on road.
So it wasn't the wheels on the bus, but it was the wheels falling off, because at the moment there's a bit of a slide. They're just lucky that there's only 10 sides and four of them are so far away
that they're not putting
pressure.
Yeah. I love this and I probably think it's one of your best, but for me I had a quick counter and mine was the anything is possible round. So Yeneta Goose had save of the round. Who would have thought? Then you have...
Match defining save too.
Yep, you have My Jock. Or Mayok, whatever you want to call him, scoring a goal.
Oh, your joke.
Yeah, your joke.
Nice finish too.
And Mariners drew with Sydney and should have won. So there's lots of things that happened on the weekend that I thought, nah, there's no way if you're reading the form guide this will ever happen, and it did. So you know what? To Mayok and Yeneta Goose and whoever, stick it up, Gio. There you go. So let's get into the weekly top five.
Yep, we're into the weekly top five, and we have, as you said, we've had a couple of good results and surprising results for the round. It is very important. 3-2, if I'm correct with where we're looking at. 3-2. Because it's getting so serious, I think we're going to have a toss of the coin as to who goes first. So, PK, pick a hand. Yep, Gio, you get to go first.
Yes, get in.
Your Barisha Award, the goal of the week. This clay statue is becoming a very, very big prize. Who have you got for us?
For me, I very rarely agree with goal of the week or the so-called expert's choice, but for me, just give the Barisha Award to Mr. Castro. Started and finished a very classy move. He absolutely bamboozled the opposition in sunny Perth. There was a couple of players there. I think it was a number 15. Can't remember his name, but anyway, he was spinning. His head was spinning. He was ready to fall down the ground like he'd been...
dancing in the stars.
Yeah, it was like you'd be on the merry-go-round in the playground, you know, and you get off and you just feel like you're... Or even one of those shows where they spin you around and try and get you to go and find something. But yeah, he was just absolute different league. And yeah, I loved watching every second of Perth there. I think it was a very polished performance, but Castro in particular led by example, and he's back to his best.
So you're saying, yeah, Castro's got the fourth one for the day there, yeah?
The flick and the finish. Look, the finish wasn't perfect, but just the what started the move, that great flick and then that nice team build-up, and he's there to finish at the end. It was just a nice finish product.
Oh, it was just a nice clean move. It was quite a good sweeping move, and I mean, they just they totally tore apart a Brisbane side that realistically just turned up in uniforms, and the uniforms stayed together that day, but they pretty much just stood out there and watched a training run.
Well, so much for your mate. What's the guy who was celebrating last week on the sidelines?
Who's this?
The coach.
DD, Darren Davies.
Yeah, he's forgotten how to do it again. I think anyway. He should have learnt from Paul Okon. If you party too hard, right, the week before, the next week you get hammered.
Yeah, well, he's put up a very strong case for early goal of the week, and it's been agreed to by others.
I did enjoy it, Joe. That was a good goal. I thought the third goal might have been better than when he ticky-tacked around the box and ripped about six defenders. But anyway, I went with Aiden O'Neill's goal in the Sydney Mariners game. Purely because you see so many of those A-League players just blasted into the bushes or the trees. So I was really impressed by his technique, the fact that he kept his head over the ball. And it was just really just an all technique goal into the bottom corner. I mean, I know Red has got a hand onto it, but look, I think for me, you don't see many of those goals in the A-League where they actually can use some solid technique.
Do you think he just knew the capabilities of a defender and said, rather than having the blast, which if we were at training or wherever, I'd put my foot through it. Make sure I don't hit some poor kids in row six.
No, I think this is from a kid who's 20 years old, who is showing composure way above his years, who's played at clubs like Burnley. And he's learnt things that some players don't learn here. That's just a simple fact.
The interesting thing is the finish goes in and he walks away just going, well, I know.
That's right.
There you go. There's another one. Thank you very
much.
Well,
he's beaten an informed keeper in Redmayne. And he's also helped them grab a share of the points against, a disappointing Sydney, but still a very good side.
Away from home.
Good side. So, and it's not his first this season. If PK is, as he's pointed out quite correctly to me, I said to a few weeks ago, who's this guy? I've never heard of him.
He's got a bomb.
But he's definitely shown me who he is, and I'm not too proud to eat humble pie. That's his third goal for the year.
It is.
That's his third goal, but it's not goal of the week as far as we stand here. I'm still going to give it to Castro because you can't start a move at halfway or just behind it and blitz through.
Castro's a fucking goal.
And just roll it in.
The Castro oil check again. I know he didn't pick up. You know what? Picked up and get an oil check again, but still good enough for me.
You would have come in and as PK said, the third when Castro decided to just Dancing with the Stars, go around all the guys in the box and roll it over to his mate Keo. But Castro's up there. It takes us straight through to our Goose of the Week. Again, we've put this up for a new name because my man Muscat's having a sensational season behind the ropes and he's doing very, very well this year. So it's very hard to honour him with a trophy this year. But the Goose of the Week, which I think many a Wanderer has put their hand up for, but the Wanderers are on something called a winning streak, two in a row. Goose of the Week, what did you come up with, PK?
There was a couple of left field ones that I found, but I went with Channel 9 as my Goose of the Week, and in reference to them promoting the W League Grand Final, so this is their segment on the Today Show on Friday morning, so they had Ante Juric, the Sydney FC women's W League coach, and they had him as Ante Milicic. And they said the caption underneath was Ante Milicic set to take over from the Matildas, but is also coaching in the women's grand final tonight.
So they're really up the ante.
They really up the ante, and I love that one, Jules.
What a ref you are!
But I just saw, seriously, how many times are these mainstream media clowns going to get it wrong? You know, when we're trying to promote the women's game here, I thought, you know what, Channel 9, you're my Goose of the Week.
Look, on one hand, it is nice to see Channel 9 giving football some proper airtime, but it'd be nice if they got it right, wouldn't it?
Look, when you say these clowns, PK, at least we admit we're clowns.
Exactly.
Right? So I don't go around thinking I'm Prince Charming.
I don't
sit
here in a red nose for nothing.
Yeah, I know. I know I'm a jackass, so I'm just going to run with it. But can we just clarify one thing here before I give my Goose of the Week, please, Julesy the ref? He should be able to sympathise with these guys because these guys got the wrong name of the coach for the wrong game. He's got the wrong league. This is the A-League show, not the W-League show.
Yeah,
why is he talking about a mistake about the W-League?
No,
hang on a second. We're across all leagues.
Yeah,
we had Vic Guzman on the other day as our W-Leaguer.
I've got nothing. I love the W-League. That's but what true. I'm saying is, this is our top five based on match day 19.
It was
grand final, not match day 19.
You might have been throwing your hat in the ring for Goose of the Week by trying to dismiss the W-League players.
No, it wasn't.
If there's anyone with a comment, please just send Gio a message on Instagram. But let's see how you're going to dig yourself out of this hole, my friend.
Look, surprisingly, mine was off the pitch. For me, I just cannot believe that the Brisbane Roar have sold Taggart for $150K while still in contract. So they can give me all the pitch they like that he increased from 100K that originally agreed to 150. That's just asking for, instead of peanuts, marbles. So this is dumb, stupid. I don't understand. For me, I've talked about this with you guys before. We must bring in a fee that the FFA receive for the sale of a player that they can put back into the league. So you can go and have your closing down sale and sell prize assets for $2 and just have a, you know, these cheap sales. But I reckon there has to be, based on maybe three categories of, you know, based on number of A-League games or number of internationals, agreed when you sign a contract that the club, the FFA will receive a certain amount for that player.
I don't understand this one. What was Tags? He was third, I think, on the goal scorers list for this year. He'd scored 11, I think it was 11 for Brisbane. It's almost like a double goose, because this decision only gets doubled in stupidity by the fact that you sell him post transfer window closing. That's awesome. Here's your 150 yeah. grand. Go spend it on better strips, because that's about all you can buy. Go buy numbers yep. that stick on. Like, I do not understand it. Talk about, you know, maybe take it just jumping a sinking ship and having nothing out of the season. But yeah, really, time. What's... I mean, that's only compounded by they turn up, they win against Sydney FC, and you think, oh, wow, they can put something together, and then they just totally forget to turn up
but
against Perth.
But this is disrespectful to the fans, right, who pay and go out and buy some Tigers jerseys.
Was it a 2 or 3 year
yeah.
deal?
Yeah, but
memberships
this,
as
this,
well.
Yeah, this is also sponsors who say, okay, these are the players that we'll have this year.
150 grand doesn't help them get a marquee. It doesn't do anything
but
for
you,
it.
But if you're that silly that you want to go there and sell players, right, and you can say, oh, he needs freedom of trade, well, great. He agreed to be there. Now, if he's going to leave and you don't want to restrict him, you have to be compensated.
Yeah,
if they put 600 or 700 grand in the bank for that, and they were able to go out next year and buy another couple of really good players, and then do something with the club, that's fine.
If we're looking at it, Taggart was signed, I'd have to think that he was signed earning more than 150 grand. So they haven't even got their money back on him.
That's right.
So they've actually sold
him. Not even cash converters.
No.
So, it's shocker.
There's players in local football making more than him, or that have made more than.
Yeah, you know,
I want to play with that like a football. Well, that makes it pretty easy when you're agreeing to it as well. Gio goes out to a quick early 2-0 lead, but Goose of the Week, that has to go to Brisbane Roar for that sale.
I'd happily just make that another
garage sale.
I just can't stand when we do things like this.
That's stumbling across a Ming vase at a garage sale.
What's that celebrity roadshow, whatever it's called? You walk
antique
in there.
Antique roadshow,
antique, whatever it's called. You walk in with like a Picasso and you say, they go, we'll give you $8 for it. You go, beauty. See,
I'll pick it up for 20 cents.
I can go down to Macca's now and buy a Happy Meal and a couple of sundaes.
I reckon it's a really good way for us to go into this next one at 2-0 up to Gio, given that we've seen it already. What's the best fan or coach reaction or crowd reaction that we've seen from the weekend just past?
I didn't think anyone could outdo the Roar. But this has definitely, for me, taken the cake. So I don't agree, you guys already know this, I don't agree with stopping players as they're walking off. For me, if I'm a coach, I want my players focused on the job at hand, whether it's going on to close a game out or fight back from a bad first half. I hate the way the commentators ask them as they're walking off, how are you going? Having a great day? Yeah, awesome. We're down 4-0. We're going fantastic. I'm loving this.
Yeah, what went wrong?
Yeah, so I hate this. So that's already the first part. But then what they do is Daniel Garb grabs Ryan Grant as he's walking off.
The hair model, yes.
Yeah, they're down 1-0 at halftime against the Mariners. And he says, can you tell us about your chat with Stephen Mallon and your mullet? And his response was something about, having a bit of a giggle too. Yeah, I said, what about the mullet on the front of your face? And they both had a bit of a grin. Garb was like so happy. He was excited. He was holding it back. Like it was the funniest joke he's ever heard. Like he's at Carl Barron. And I'm like, this is amateur hour. This was so embarrassing. So it was the best fan player or whatever reaction. But I just couldn't understand what we were trying to achieve.
Maybe we should call it the best player restriction, because I think Ryan Grant did brilliantly just to kind of half job it off and keep walking, because on that first half, it would have been very, very frustrating. You pick someone like that. I mean, do yourself a favour. Get some piece of gold or something valuable out of it. We're sick of hearing about his hair. It's a bad haircut. He knows it and he keeps it. Why talk to him about it? Old news, as PK
said.
But if
I'm Kareka and I see that later on, I'm cooking with gas. I just want to know, what are you trying to achieve?
Well, let's be fair. That one almost could have been a late mail for a Goose of the Week call too. So
Sesame Street's
skirting on a bad reaction.
Sesame Street's been going for 50 years. Garb, there's a gig for you. You can go down there, because that's the sort of stuff you talk to kids about. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how's your hairstyle today? Like, seriously, it's a kids' hour. That's not something that I want to see in a league that's trying to be taken seriously and credible. And on back of that, Raw selling players cheap, amateur hour with these commentators, where are we heading?
Let me see. PK.
I was impressed by Roy O'Dea's hop, skip and a jump celebration after
the Tin Man.
The Tin Man after he nailed the 3-1 winning ceiling goal on Friday night. So I don't know if he was hop, skipping, jumping away because they were running away with the points after Andy Merrick decided to rest half the team in between a crucial A-League game sandwiched between their ACL qualifier coming up. So I don't know if he was trying to echo that type of response.
I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, I reckon there's an inside joke to that because Ernie did rest everyone.
Almost 6 or 7 starters.
And when he came on, he kind of had that tired half strut. I'm a bit sore, but keep me going.
Yeah, exactly.
I loved it.
I don't need a rest.
I loved it. That might have been either Roy the Tank Engine, right, just getting up some steam, or maybe his hamstring had already gone.
Well, could
have. And he couldn't stretch out. Hopefully not. He was trying to stretch out, right? I was just very, very happy to see Roy back. He's a great asset to the
Brilliant
league.
Brilliant.
Just seeing him back fit again, and also, you know, he's backed up after midweek track work.
Yeah.
So good old Roy the Tank Engine. Quite impressive. Choo-choo.
Yeah, scores one, makes one. And for me, he gets the best reaction of the week, so he gives PK 1-2. There goes 2-1.
I'm happy with that. Mine wasn't the best. Mine was probably worst. I just am absolutely shocked at that.
So that brings into, and I know there's a few really, really good ones, is the Bozza Award, and that is the best save that we've seen out of the games this weekend. Mate, there's probably 3 or 4 that would come. I'm going to let PK go first.
There were some great saves, and I think I almost sound like a broken record every week saying this, but I'm going to get straight into it. I was really, really impressed by Curto's save from Kenny Achiu's deflected shot on Friday night. So for listeners who didn't see it, Kenny Achiu's had a shot from outside the box. It's taken a deflection off one of their centre-backs, not sure who it was. So Curto's diving to his right, and then he's reacted with his left hand up in the air and absolutely...
I think he was diving to his left.
Yes, he was. Sorry. You're right.
It's all right, mate.
I'm glad you saw
it. I'm glad you. And when you were explaining it, you were going to your right.
I was actually. I actually was listening, almost fell off my seat.
Yeah.
Great save. Diving to his left, and he's just stuck his right hand up. Reflex.
Brilliant save.
Just absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I think now we just kind of expect that. I mean, he's been one of the top three keepers in the league this season. And
it was a very strong hand.
Yep. Need you say more?
No more.
If you're going back to action replays, I'm tenfold.
Well, I'm glad we're showing action replays on radio. But
big save,
anyway.
Big play. Thomas denies Krishna after great lead-up work. So they were down 2-0, down 1-0 in the 60th minute, and pretty much that would have closed the deal and given Krishna his second for the game. Instead, he just comes out, gets a low hand down, and somehow fits the ball around the post. Yeah, so for me... I did like both saves, so Julesy, no pressure. I'm happy for you to go either way here and take it down to a decider. But
it's easier for you. Yeah. Big save, big moment, big surprise. You go with victory. Curto gets it because that was just that's the saves that you make when you've already committed and the ball gets a bit of a touch up and goes. And it wasn't just a hand to it. It was a very strong hand, and it was cleared out. The other one I would have said if you went with the team one was Izzo's face.
Yes.
Rolly at the end.
The Falcon.
He saves it with his feet. Saves it with his face. I'm not sure whether he didn't want to scratch his gloves up. But that was two hot saves. And then the and defender
Galekovic did another good save. I don't know if you saw in the Newcastle game. He did an awesome save from Jay's header.
He did too, yep.
So yeah, there was about 4 or 5.
Saves around.
I don't even know why PK's giving the extra. He's already cleaned this up. I should be begging here.
We're back to 2-2.
No. I should be begging here. No. 2-2,
it's all to play for in the good, the bad and the ugly.
It was the same game event. So obviously the fans got their money's worth because we're talking about a great game, great crowd and then great saves.
And the keepers making the differences.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
And keeping it at the 1-1s. So yep, good, bad and ugly. This is for the win. This will either bring it back to 3-3 or the 4-2.
Give it to Joe. I reckon he's. I can see he's.
Well, edging. Give him the win.
No, give him the opportunity to have the win. Not yet.
He's done some study. I know he's very keen.
If you do the stats, I'm not very good at tiebreakers, right? Last week I lost. When we go to 5 sets, I'm in big trouble against a young man with stamina.
But the thing is, I reckon,
I need to wrap it up in 3.
Good, bad. Although, this is your strong part, I reckon.
Although you did bankroll one and get it double points the other week. So let's see what we've got.
Yeah, every dog has his day. I feel like that Karlovic guy, you know, in tennis. He can never break anyone's serve. He always goes to 7-6 and goes to the tiebreaker. So, all right. So for me, the good, bad and the ugly, the big Roy OD award was for the game between the Newcastle Jets and Melbourne City. The good for me was the Jets' performance with a hugely understrength team in a must-win game. So I thought that was very impressive. The bad was the scheduling. They played on the 12th and the 15th. So, like I said, I don't know who's doing the scheduling here, but you need to be able to do something here to...
This is that Asian Champions League issue every year.
I know it is, but you need... Okay, so 12th and the 15th. The 15th was a Friday. Couldn't they play it on a Saturday or Sunday?
Give
them a break, right? Like, give them an extra day or something. It's huge. A day is a lot of recovery time and also a lot of, you know, video sessions and prep time or whatever. So, for me, I just think that you got to be sensible here. And, look, I know there's not so much you can do, but... work to your favour and maximise what you can do. And the ugly for me was 8,000 loyal fans who watch a second string team outplay City. I'm not blaming Ernie or the lads. The blame goes solely elsewhere. So just because of your scheduling and the way things go, like I said, you get fans go out there who want to see your Dimmies and your Topor Stanleys and your Bogarts, and instead they see a second string side. Now, okay, great opportunity for young guys to shine. It was a great... great sign for Newcastle Jets to show without all their big names, they were able to get a win against a City side who just didn't look like they wanted to be there. But if I'm a fan and I'm paying, I want to see those players.
Yeah, I want to be seen. Lucky Roy's cameo probably gave them enough of an enjoyment, but fair enough.
Yeah, but Roy's cameo, and I didn't say this before, but Roy's cameo, when he's had so many injuries, would you really want to put him on? I know he scored the goal.
He's flying at the moment, so do you really want to stop him playing when things are going well? But
But two games in a week when he couldn't even play one game in a week because he was injured. You look at...
He had a 10-game rest at the start of the year, he's firing.
But you know what? It's one of those things, right, when you have bad luck. Look at the Mariners versus Sydney the other day just quickly. So what's the wing back who rolled his ankle and he's out again, or rolled his knee or whatever he did in the game? He used to be at the Raw. It'll come to me.
I'm not sure.
Anyway,
He
basically just come back from injury, and then he's gone up for a header, come down and just landed on it, and straight away Wilkinson said, Tommy Orr. He said straight away, you got to get him off. They're going to carry him off. Instead, he limped off. But just goes to show, when you're injured and you're coming back from injury and stuff, this can happen. Just simple, basic things. So I wouldn't be pushing Roy.
What's your answer again?
I wouldn't be pushing Roy.
To the game of life.
Right. I just wouldn't be pushing Roy. I'll try and do this.
So can we come back to the good, bad and the ugly?
I'll try and do this in a minute, even though we're probably going
to get the same. I love the PK short form.
I'll try to. Okay, so I went with the Perth-Brisbane game. The good, we've already touched on already. Castro masterclass. So his involvement from the second and third goal, then he scored the fourth goal. Absolutely fantastic performance, probably his best of the year. And like we've touched on before, usually comes to the fold towards the end of the year, which he's holding his form up again. The bad was the Brisbane Roar in general, not backing up a performance last week. So they knocked off Sydney FC, who are going to finish in the top three. We know that by the table.
That was a come-from-behind win,
too. Come-behind win and not to actually back that up. We've touched on reasons why, Taggart, the situation during the week. And I'm going to be very critical being an ex-defender, the ugly being the bad defending that the Brisbane displayed, including their goalkeeper as well. So I think their keeper was pretty poor with their first goal. There was two out of the goals, second and third goal. There was not a defender anywhere near it. And the fact that if you watch a slow motion replay, that was about six defenders around Castro when he was tiki-taki dancing around the box. So look, being an ex-defender, I just think their defending was pretty poor in general. And look, I know Perth were hot, but I think the Brisbane were pretty awful.
But isn't that what happens on the dance floor? When the dancer comes out, right, you just sort of stand around and wait for him to see who he chooses. So those six defenders are like, maybe he might choose me as their partner. So they were just patiently waiting to see if they get the call up.
I know, I absolutely agree with you, Joe. But I think that the main thing is that you beat Sydney FC from behind 2-1 at home. You think, geez, we get our first win here under the new coach. And then to actually go out there and just get absolutely...
Just know, I mean, if they'd lost 2-1.
Yeah.
Or if they'd 3-1, put in a bit more...
Isn't it very obvious, though?
A terrible showing. They're easy to kick at the moment because that was such a poor showing, and Perth were just...
But it's very obvious, though. You sell Taggart, as we said.
Of course.
And all of a sudden, what does that say to the other players? You've just sold our best player, and they said, we can't make the playoffs now. Okay, good. So we'll just say,
so we've written the year
don't
off,
play in boots
yeah.
anymore. You can just play in sandals. It's like...
You know what? That makes it a pretty easy one for me because we are talking about a pretty widening gap there between the roll-on of Perth and the rollover of Brisbane. So, PK, welcome back.
Is it all of his course you forgot what he actually answered?
I'm still not sure. No, but that ends up as a 3-3.
This week it's actually because instead of PK saying, my goal was this, and I'm explaining it, you should know yourself. No, that's your job, mate. Your job is to explain your top five, not just say, you should know.
Right. He explained it well and he took it well. So
mate, you're getting better every single week, and I'm not going to five sets from now on. I'm just going for the big Philippoussis ace down the middle just to close out in three or four, or I'm done.
I'll have a cheeky job. Have you just blown two 2-0 leads in a row?
Yeah, I have.
Well, that was pretty quick.
I have.
All right. That's it. I'm done.
I think I might still be hungover from the double points, double points round. I think I'm struggle streak.
Well, I'm going to go back to my notes and have a quick break so I can figure out what you were actually talking about, Gio, with that last presentation. And up after the break, we'll have a young player, Evan Kostopoulos, coming on board.
Welcome to the Football Revolution, hosted by Gio, Jules and PK.
Welcome back to the Football Revolution. Joining us in the Players Lounge tonight is a very busy lad who previously played for Adelaide United, currently playing with Adelaide City, so he's the Adelaide boy. Welcome to the show, Evan Kostopoulos.
How are you guys? All good, all good.
Mate, thanks for being on the show. It's great to have you here, and there's a lot to talk about, so let's get started.
Yeah, easy, guys.
Mate, let's first question is, nickname, what do the lads call you at footy?
I've got a few. It's changed with different clubs, but usually just my name, or so Evan or Ev, Cozzy sometimes, which is a weird one. I don't know what that means, but pretty much Ev. I guess Cozzy because Kostopoulos, but yeah.
I had a sneaky fiver. You might have been Costa.
Yeah, so you just won us some money.
So yeah, that's
fantastic.
And thanks for that.
And after,
yeah.
And I've already beaten PK tonight and won a few pints. So at the moment, I'm on a roll here. I might go to Vegas the way I'm heading. So. Funniest football story or experience?
Oh, wow. On the field or off the field, there's a few.
Either, mate. Whatever you think is will give us a good insight to getting to know the real Evan.
Look, there's been some bloopers. I did a pretty funny miss kick against Sydney FC when I was at Adelaide. That was a pretty embarrassing one, and the boys talked about that for a few weeks.
You never escape the boys when they catch on to something, do you?
No. So that one stuck for a while. It was quite embarrassing. Apart from that, I can't really think. To be honest, there's so many different funny stories that have happened. I mean, I'm a bit of a clown sometimes within the group, so there's just literally too many to think of.
All right, mate. Well, what we'll do is we can always backtrack at the end, and if you can come up with one of those, we can. But isn't it funny how your teammates all seem to remember the stupid things you do, but you score a great goal and you hear about it for 10 seconds and that's the end of it.
Yeah, exactly right. They're selective, what they want to think about and remember. But
who would be your current favourite A-League player?
You know who's actually a bit of a freak is that Diego Castro. I've liked him since he's come into the A-League, so I'll probably say him.
Great choice.
I would have locked in Goodwin because being a winger yourself, I would have said that's someone that we would have expected you to be, or not only play similar to, but someone that is playing at the club that you were previously at too. So Goodwin would have been my lock-in.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I should have picked him because I've actually seen Craig come from, he was just a train-on player in the youth league back in the day, and he's just come and just skyrocketed past everyone. So, really
he's
happy
a cracker
for
of
him.
A year too. Good
boy. Mate, when they say back in the day, you're only, what, 28 or 29 now. You're still a young lad.
Yeah, no, this would have been gone, I reckon, 10 years ago. So, it was still some time ago.
Given your Adelaide experiences, is that who you support or have you got another side that you're soft to?
I'm not really a team guy. Obviously, Adelaide, yes. Growing up here, I had a Casio shirt when I was supporting them. I think it was back in 2004. So I loved Casio and United. And apart from that, probably AEK Athens is my team in Greece. So that's about it. There's no real other teams that I follow or go for.
Mate, there's nothing wrong with being patriotic both ways, Aussie and Greek.
Yeah, that's right. You gotta be both.
Away from football, mate, what do you enjoy doing?
I do a few things. Obviously, I like being with the family a lot. I've got two little kids now under the age of two, so it's full on. I love obviously spending time with family.
That would count as a fitness session though, wouldn't it? Running around after those two?
Yeah, literally. So it's full on, but it's enjoyable. It's worth all the sleepless nights and wasted energy. Well, it's not wasted, but sort of is. Yeah, so apart from that, I'm involved in the building industry, so we do renovations and that keeps me busy. And then also I mentor young players, so I've had a few experiences in my time as a player, so I mentor young little up-and-coming talents and try and, you know, mentor them to go down the right path.
The package, man.
So with all of that, keeps me busy.
Look, we'll touch on that a little bit later in the show, but that will lead us into our next question, which is, what reality TV show would you go on? So I think this is probably going to be pretty clear.
Yeah, probably a renovation show would be awesome, I reckon.
The Block, I think we've got you the signed
block,
up for. Yeah,
the
I
Block,
think
yeah.
We're sending
yeah,
your application in now.
The Block's probably the best one, yeah. Let's go with that.
Who would you take on with you?
Oh, my wife is going at the interiors, so I'll probably, together we're a good team. So I'll take the wife.
Oh, look at that. You've even just got points with the missus now.
Yeah, I know. Wait till she hears this. Yeah.
Nah, she's not here. She didn't hear me. I can't let her hear me. She'll get arrogant and cocky about it.
Don't worry, mate. We'll send her the recording before anyone else sees it. Yeah. Worst roommate on a away trip?
Worst roommate? I haven't had many. To be honest, I had a lot of boring lads. So they'd probably say I'm the worst, but...
Mate, you can dob yourself in.
I'll say Bruce Jitte, just because he'd have his laptop and he'd be working the whole time, and I'd be trying to annoy him. So it was pretty annoying with it on that laptop the whole time. No one to speak to, and
so
always
Bruce
on the
would
phone.
Probably say it's you.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I think he might, but he's probably had a few more than me. He's had a long career, so I'm sure he would have had a few other annoying ones.
What makes you a bad roommate? Dob yourself in now.
Oh, I'm just always trying to annoy someone. I get a bit bored, so I'm like, you know,
Itchy feet, always jumping around.
Making some noise, throwing something around, and just trying to cause some ruckus.
Mate, I sympathise with you because the boys say that about me all the time, so you got an ally here.
Yeah.
If you've always...
We'll be roommates one day.
Mate, if you've always got energy to burn, what's your G-Up song then? What song gets you going before a game?
Oh, mate, I'm a bit of a weirdo with that. I listen to Greek music. Just gets me going.
A bit of Spaganaki.
Well, PK's Greek, right? So he's loving this. I think you guys can have a chat about this and Jules and I can head down the pub.
Spaganaki's a bit old, but some modern day stuff for sure gets me going. But a bit of village music too.
Can you get some of the other boys involved, or was this just a solo act?
No, I can't. I've never played with a Greek person, so it's just a solo act.
Wait, the way you
go. I probably have, but yeah, very few. Nah, I don't think I have.
We can maybe take this offline, guys, so we don't bore you two out here. So
no, I was going to say we could set up our own team, right? He's happy to play with me because I'm annoying. He's never played with a Greek. Now, if you just want a horrible striker, we can sign Jules up as well.
I'm done.
Let's do it. That's perfect.
And just our last question before we get into some football questions: what meal would you cook if you were trying to impress your wife?
Trying to impress the wife.
Uber Eats, and you can do a Mrs. Doubtfire and just empty it out into a plate and tell her you cooked it.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do the chicken nandos. Let's do that with the cheeky nandos.
See, we watch too many movies here. See, we got plenty of time.
Yeah. The cheeky nandos, he's onto it.
Okay, so PK, what football questions have we got for Evan?
Yeah, we'll jump into some football stuff. So you're going around again with Adelaide City this year. I mean, how's the preseason been, and what are the expectation and ambitions for the team this season?
Yeah, really good. Really good. It's a good club with a lot of history, and you know, it's a popular club. It's been around for a long time, and it's got a great community around the club, so it's the vibe's good. A bit of a change, obviously, with coaching staff. Had Damien Murray, legend, down at the club for many years, and now it's a bit of a change of culture with a young new coach who's his first year in men's football. So it's a bit of a change, but I think it's for the best. It's, you know, change is always good, and you know, bringing a new bunch of players in, so it's enjoyable. The buzz is good, and I think we'll do really well.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. And I saw as well that you know, the club's just recently signed Marcus Flores, so there's ex Johnny Warren medal winner, so there's obviously a signal of intent there for a big season.
Yeah, of course it makes a statement, you know, signing a player like that, and I think it shows the club is ambitious to go in an upward direction.
He's the second biggest signing behind you, mate, so they waited till they got the big one out of the way, and then they just dropped Flores in there after the...
Yeah, I'd love to agree with you, but I don't know, mate. There's some good players in my team, so I reckon I'm about 5th, 6th in the pecking order now.
Mate,
I can't run like I used to.
We'll take that. Favourite all-time Adelaide City player. So I remember watching City a lot as growing up, and I love the Zebras, right? They're just absolute quality. Yeah, so who's your favourite City player of all time?
Mate, this is a tough question, because as much as it's ironic that I'm playing for Adelaide City, I grew up supporting West Adelaide, so I hated every Adelaide City player.
Mate, that's good. We're fine with that. You don't have to toe the line here, mate. If that's the honest truth, then we'll run with that.
Let's run with that, yeah.
How did Adelaide City take all of the energy around trying to join the A-League again? Was it took the wind out of their sails a little bit, or is the club still ready to go again?
No, to be honest, I think they were quite realist with the whole situation. They understood that it's a bit of a big step away at the moment. And I knew, you know, that they have ambitions to go that way, but it's definitely, you know, not in the near future. It could be something that happens in the next 5 years or so, but it's nothing that's going to happen tomorrow. But, you know, they're working towards that. I think there's other clubs who are ready and they're in that position. I think City's still a few years away. So I don't think it's
crying out for an Adelaide rivalry, though.
Definitely a derby. Yeah, Adelaide needs one. Perth needs one.
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
Yeah, and also, too, you spent 3 years at Adelaide. So, I mean, I'm sure the viewers would remember between 2010 and 2013. Then after that, you spent some time at Sydney Olympic. Were there, at the time, any offers from any other A-League clubs, or was the NPL the only option for you at that time?
Oh, yeah, look, there's a bit of a long story, which has led me to helping young players, because I went through a rough patch with a few people. There was quite a few offers, actually, which was funny, and I also had an option to stay in Adelaide for 2 years. And for whatever reason, you know, a bit of politics and a bit of dodgy agents that are in the game, unfortunately, it ended up that I had from 7 options to 0 options within a couple of months, and I had nothing left for local league, so... You know, that's when I moved over to Sydney and sort of get a change, see if I could get a new lease of life and maybe go overseas. But, you know, I had a bit of a rough time in the A-League. So Sydney was a good option for me at the time and probably the only option I had, which was strange. But that's football for you. There's good stories and there's bad stories.
No, certainly. And what's your view on the difference between the standard between the NPL in New South Wales and where you've been playing in SA?
Yeah, look, it's to be honest, it's probably a bit better. There's more ex-NSL, well, not right now, but when I was there, there was a few more ex-NSL/A-League players. So obviously there was a lot more players just coming from back to the local leagues, which made the league stronger itself. I don't know if there's any other reasons why it was a bit stronger and a bit more of a mature league, I guess. That could have something to do with it. And probably participants in the sport, so it lifted the whole game in general. So yeah, it was a bit better.
Mate, can I ask you, going back a few years though, so in 2006, 2007, you declined offers from AEK Athens and Panionios, I'm guessing.
Panionios.
Good enough, mate. I'm Italian, not Greek. That's why we've got a Greek here. So at the time, mate, you only would have been 16 or 17. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and why you declined the offers other than it would have been, you know, pretty overwhelming for a young kid?
Yeah, that's funny, actually. Someone told me about that. But yeah, I was at those two clubs. And to be honest, I came back just because there was no money to pay me. So I decided that I'd come home. But yeah, it would have been a good opportunity. And, you know, unfortunately, that's a bit of the situation in those countries. Sometimes you're not going to get paid. And, you know, maybe if the situation was different and my parents had money to keep me there, I would have stayed. But I decided to come back, obviously, and find a better option that's a bit more feasible, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair enough. When you came back, did you come back with a little bit more of a tag on your back to open doors and get an opportunity, or did you sort of have to come back and start afresh again?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't think many people knew at the time, so I just came back to normal, still had to work, and didn't really open up any opportunities. It's such a far away country I was in, so I still had to work hard. I think I went back to Olympic at the time for a few games, and I was a young boy and just trying to do my best. And then slowly broke into some first teams and started from there.
And like all things, goals do the talking for strikers and attacking players, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. Of course, you can't beat the stats, I think, with attacking players. So
I've got something here that says you experienced playing a little bit in South China or the Hong Kong First Division. That would have been a total change-up compared to sort of A-League and Greek football. Is that just a bit of experience or try to make something happen?
Yeah, that was after Sydney Olympic. And obviously, like I said before, I had a bit of a rough time within the A-League and some agents. So I decided to get as far away as possible. And at the time, after Sydney Olympic season, I had an option to sign it in South China, which is a huge club in Hong Kong. I think it's one of the oldest club in Asia. Actually, it folded about a year ago. But that was an awesome experience. You know, a big club, big history. It was definitely a great... A great memory, great experience. So yeah, that was awesome. I liked it. I loved it.
Mate, if my intel is correct, that would have been the same time you were playing with McBreen. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. He came about. he came about halfway through the season. You know, it was good to have another Aussie there too. Actually, there was a few Aussies at the time, so it was awesome.
Most important question, is he as big a pest as everyone else tells me he is?
Oh, the biggest pest.
That's what we're
someone
actually
who's double my age. I've never met a pest like that.
Well, that's what I was actually trying to get at, Evan. So basically everyone we've had on here from Josh Rose to you name it have said he's the world's biggest pest, and especially if you had some stories, I would have guessed if he was playing in the same squad as you, you'd have a hell of a lot of stories if you played alongside McBreen.
Yeah, actually now you're bringing some of them back. So yeah.
They're not PG, so nothing your kids could hear. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, we were actually talking earlier on the show about maybe bringing in a pest award. So, you know, the world's biggest pest or the biggest pest in football.
Call it the Macca.
Yeah. I think it's the Macca now. Definitely. And,
I reckon you got to get the Macca on the show. Has he been on the show yet?
No, he hasn't been on yet. But, mate, if you could hit him up for us, it'd be much appreciated.
Yeah, I will. I'll tell him that you're waiting for him to give him a call.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't get on the show button, tell us that we're as good as what he thought of the Mariners a few weeks ago. When he, as long as he thinks we're better than that, we'll happily have him on the show.
Yeah, done. I'll tell him to be careful what he says.
Mate, so biggest influence on your career to date?
That's a tough one. Probably Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo. He's the person that made me fall in love with the game. I tried to copy him, as even though I didn't do it too well. I tried to. He was my motivation, so to speak. I'll probably use him.
And do you have what advice would you give to young players? So obviously you've mentioned you had a bit of a tough time coming through the ranks as a young player. I mean, what advice would you give to young fellas trying to make their trade and play in Australia or even overseas as well?
Just ask questions, to be honest. You know, make rational decisions and ask questions. It's a tough industry to stay level-headed. You know, players can get excited very easy. They get a taste of something and then they think that, you know, that they've got the world, but you got to stay level-headed, ask questions, just make rational decisions, because as quickly as your career can be made, it can quickly fall apart. So, you know, I think you've got to be level-headed and hang around the right crowd.
It's a fragile pathway while you're walking it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Mate, I suppose that leads us into, so you've got a couple of businesses, so you are doing juggling well, the wife, the kids, and a couple of businesses. So firstly, if we can just ask you about E3 management. So it's great that you're giving back to players and trying to, you know, help them avoid walking down those dark paths that we've all been down. So what's the main thing you're currently doing with that? Are you focusing on a particular age group, or what are you trying to target with your management group, and what are you trying to change?
Yeah, look, my target is, obviously it's a passion project that I felt as a player that I wanted, you know, advice that I needed when I was a young player, and I wish I had it. So it's just me giving something that I wish I had, you know, 5-10 years ago back to the players. And as I've said, I've experienced great times in football and some terrible times in football. You know, I've dealt with good agents, I've dealt with some bad agents. So I think I've, even though my career is not as long as some people's, I think I've experienced every single thing in football within the short career I've had. So I think my knowledge is just as vast as someone who's had a 25-year career because of the situations I've been in. So, you know, it just sort of organically fell on me, and I started, you know, helping a few players out and through an agent called James Hardy, who was a mate of mine and an agent of mine towards the end of my career. He, you know, helped me put a few things together, and since then, by accident, you know, it's now led me to wanting to help players. And, you know, I help a few and advise a few in the A-League now and also in the NPL. So it's something that I don't know if I'll do it forever, but it's definitely something I'd love to keep my hands in. It's, you know, it's something that I like doing. That's something I plan to do a bit more in the years to come.
To be fair, that's something that's probably missing in all forms of football at the moment. And if you're filling a bit of a void for some of those players and assisting them through those difficult times or keeping them steady on the ship and path, that's a valued experience that no one can find apart from those who have walked it themselves.
Yeah, of course. Look, you know, you can really, it's definitely missing in football. I mean, people disagree because there's a lot of registered agents, you know, who wear a nice suit and hold a briefcase, but, you know, I don't think it's sound advice that they're giving some of the players, and that's not me having a dig at anyone. It's just, in general, I think there's not enough care or love for the players, especially when it's their career that's on the line.
Yeah, there's places for all in those games. There's the business case, and then there's the personal and the assistance side of things that the players need to be aware of. It's not just a trading card over the table. It's someone's career, like you say.
Yeah, that's right. You know, players, they're not toys, you know, they're not a, you know, trading cards, you know, it's a person's life and livelihood. So the mental side is, and the well-being is more important than the transactions and deals, to be honest. So that needs to take priority, and I think that's what myself and some other people are trying to do now. So I think it's gonna work in the long run, because players are gonna realize that, you know, you need that guidance, and until you experience it yourself, you need someone who's been in that position to guide you through the ropes.
Mate, you're doing a great thing, and look, for me, it's pretty much hit a nerve with me. So what I'm curious to know is, obviously you're very passionate about it, but when you are leading guys through this, and does it bring up for you emotions of what you went through before? Is it how's the feeling for you when you're going through this with other players?
No, not at all. Look, I think things happen for a reason. There's a reason why I went through everything, and I believe it was to teach other players and to show them the right way and how to go about things and the right decisions you need to make as a footballer. You know, there was a bit of moment in my career where I was, you know, a bit against it all, but now that I can see clearly, I realise that it's to lead me to this. So no regrets, mate. And, you know, I would have loved to play the 10 years at the top level, but that wasn't in the plans. And as I said, it's led me to this, so I can't complain at all.
Does that mean we see coaching plans in your future?
Probably not. I think I did a bit of coaching when I first got out of footy, pro footy, and I loved it. But at the moment, there's no time. Maybe in the future, but I like, you know, mentoring players. You know, more away from the coaching side of things. More, you know, I think that's suited to someone else's role to teach them on the field. I mean, I'd rather teach them off the field, because I think the mental side of the game and the career side of the game is what's lacking more. There's many good coaches out there, but not many good advisors.
And just so as important.
Just as important, of course.
Mate, I'm just glad that Jules is not your PA, because we've already talked about how much you got on your plate, and he's trying to load you up with coaching and more things. Anything else you want him to do, Jules?
I don't know. He could probably come and give me a bit of a motivational
speech. Mate, give him a
break.
He's got enough on his plate.
I might get my masseuse course as well.
Tell us as well, we touched on your, what you're doing on your businesses now. Tell us a bit about Earthling as well.
Yeah, so Earthling's a company I've been involved with in a couple of years now. It's obviously a startup that benefits, it's a product that benefits athletes. And yeah, it's 2 years down. It's going really well. We've got some big ambassadors and names on board. Yeah.
Do you want to name a few of those? Who are the ambassadors? Anyone we know?
Oh, there's heaps, but I actually confidentially can't say anything at the moment, just because, well, the business is going through a situation at the moment. But there's some really big names in there, so it's going really well.
We'll just say you're in talks with Michael Jordan, and we'll leave it at that.
Maybe.
Mate, can we confirm something here? Because when we were reading this, Jules was very excited. Can you really grow 2 extra abs? He is dying for this.
Okay. Yes.
If I can get that option, that would give me 2.
Yes,
you can. Well, you can get a 6-pack, buy a 6-pack, and then you'll have an 8-pack.
No, he'd like to open his account and just have 2.
I'd take 2 just as a starter.
Perfect, mate. Let's do that.
Here's another client for you. Julesy, you just give him a call offline.
Done.
Mate, can we get your opinions on the A-League second tier? So there was a lot of, obviously with Adelaide City, your club not getting accepted into the A-League, there was there's a big push also for a second tier. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, in good time, I think it needs to happen, and I think it will happen. But clubs need to be ready. I mean, when you say, you know, clubs, or my club got, you know, pushed out, so to speak, I think slowly it's going to happen. And, you know, clubs need to be ready, because how many teams we've seen come into the A-League and then pull out a few years later. North Queensland Fury, Gold Coast United. There's been a few more that I can't think of right now. You know, they need to be ready. That can't keep happening, I think. So you'd rather take your time and do it right than rush into it and it folds and doesn't get where it needs to get. So I think it's definitely needed for the country, for development in the country. A lot of good players playing in the NPL now who should be, you know, in the shop window. Yeah, I can't wait, to be honest. I wish I was 20 years old.
That's it. I think it's a good way to also audition the club for the big league, as we want to sell it, and also to generate the passion and the loyalty of fans to follow that journey through. So I'm with you. I can't wait for that to come in when they finally figure it out. But
and I'm just letting you know, Jules, as his PA, he doesn't want a job at the FFA. He doesn't want a job anywhere else. He's got plenty on his plate, so he's fine, mate. So just forget about it. All right, I can see it look in your eyes, Julesy.
I'm just still asking for those 2 extra abs.
And just a final question for tonight, Evan. We do really appreciate your time. If you could change one decision in your career, what would it be?
That's a tough one.
Have yourself as your agent.
Have myself as my agent. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
or find the right person. As I said before, make rational decisions. So that's probably the only one, and probably leaving at a younger age. I should have stayed in Greece. I would have had a nice holiday now, sitting by the beach. Would have been beautiful.
I would have come and partied every year with you in Mykonos. What do you reckon?
Perfect. You got your European passport?
Oh, I've got an Australian one, but that doesn't matter, mate. I can come
beautiful.
For 4 weeks.
You have to go to the army then.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can take fake Greek with you, Evan. No problems. You can have him. We don't need him on the show.
Done, mate. Any more jobs, mate? Just give me an email. I'll take him on.
Well, thank you very much for your time on the show today, Evan. You're certainly a very busy man, and we appreciate you taking a little bit of time out to tell us a bit about your career and what you're doing now. We wish you all the best, and we think all of those players who are getting access to you through your mentoring program are just more advanced than any coming through, and I think they're very, very lucky. But on behalf of the Football Revolution, thanks for your time and good luck in the future.
Lovely, guys. Thanks very much for the chat.
Thanks for being on the show, mate.
Fantastic to have Evan on the show. Really great guy to have a chat with. Super busy, as you hear. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the VAR.
Welcome to the Football Revolution. Hosted by Gio, Jules and PK.
Welcome back to the Football Revolution. We're into our final segment of tonight's show, which is the VAR. Gentlemen, what have we got on tonight's agenda?
We've only got an hour show and we're running out of time, so let's get through this quickly. Liam Reddy, after Castro put on a masterclass against the Raw, came out and said that he believes Castro is the GOAT of the A-League.
It's an early claim for the GOAT.
Yeah, look, it's a big claim and a big call, and I understand him backing his teammates. So pretty much, at the moment, the five that I think was thrown around by some of the other, football pundits, outlets or media outlets, was Berisha, Broish, Del Piero, Ninkovic, and Mr. Castro. So I suppose, which one of those five do you believe is the GOAT, or is there someone else that we're missing out of the mix?
I'll take it away. For me, as much as Castro is one of the most creative players the league's ever seen, I will still go with Berisha. Berisha for me, even though he's a goal scorer as opposed to that creative play. But you look at the success he's had. I guess he might have had players like Broish and that have assisted him with goals. But without labouring on too much, Berisha for me.
I would, if Castro delivers a title to Perth, then he puts in a very, very big opportunity. I think Ninkovic has probably got his hand up and maybe slightly in front because he's delivered two titles and just been superb and injury-free. Castro's had a few injury issues. For me, though, it's a hard one to overtake Thomas Broish, who was there in the glory days of Brisbane Roar with three titles back-to-back, and he was the standout for them. So Del Piero, for me, doesn't really make the list. He's just one of the quality players we've had. Shingione only had one season. There's another name you could probably throw up.
Yeah, but Del Piero, and for me, being a massive fan of Del Piero, was a love affair, right?
That's right.
No, he didn't come here.
It was a totally different reason.
He didn't come here like when he was at Juve in Italy where he was scoring goals and out of fashion. It was just you come here and he's a legend of a game. He's a legend of a game.
That's
100%.
Right.
We inherited a GOAT temporarily, but we had to give him back.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right, so you're locking in Broish?
I think for me it's a Broish Ninka.
Would you also chuck in, I know you mentioned this to me, off here, Schmelz. Would you put him in the pool?
Look, for a goal scorer, and he did it with a few different sides. And then I had one that was straight out of the box. If you talk about consistency and men who play with the side, a name no one had ever considered is Lee Broxham. He's played a multiple of positions. He's filled holes when he needs to, and he's won, four titles? Mm.
He would be loving you now. Yeah, he'd be coming over here, high five. If you're comparing
him, he's
had
every other thing there.
Yeah, but if you're comparing him, like I said, to all these big names, and look, I don't think it's unreasonable, but it is still a very nice thing for you to do for Mr. Broxham.
It's one of your sides.
And just on Bruce as well, I know you raised a good point there. He's done it with four titles of two different teams as well. Mm. And I think in that time, I reckon you ask any coach that coached him, Ange and Muskie, I reckon he's the first player picked on the team sheet.
Look, I'm going to probably get splinters here because of the fact that I'm going to sit on the fence, but I would rule out Del Piero, like we said. I think Castro's had some really highs, but I think he's also had, like, earlier on this year, they weren't talking about him. They were talking about Keogh and Economides.
He wasn't playing.
So for me, I think Berisha and Broish at the moment are at the top of the pile, but Ninkovic, if he stays here a few more years and delivers more with Sydney, could probably go straight past them. So at the
it's
moment,
a lovely fence to sit on, though, to have these quality players that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think the Killer Bees are both up there for me. And
quick sidebar, Ninkovic. Australian player GOAT. There's one of the GOATs.
Probably Archie. Could you go past Archie?
It's hard to go past Archie.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anyone else when you asked me that. I couldn't sit there.
Yeah, on the spot's a tough one.
Because anyone that really started to show promise, we saw go overseas, or they were coming back with pedigree to them. But Archie's someone who did it week in, year in.
And you score, what, 4 goals in a grand final? Did he?
Was it 5? Yeah. 4 or 5? High five for Archie?
Well, look, even if it's a hat trick, right? Anything better than that?
Yeah.
Ace is high.
But I thought, yeah, I think that's, for me, that's probably the number one, yeah.
All right. So that, look, that leaves, we can debate that forever.
We'll see what our fans think as well.
Yeah, we can see what everyone thinks. But so just our 2 quick awards to finish off. So my poor Hogbar or Honkbar award, I think he could have won this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, for blasting over the bar with an open goal beckoning. But this week he hit the post, and then like the old school Atari, it bounced back out to him again. I don't know how he was quickest to the rebound, but then he missed an open goal. So for me, it's actually quite appropriate because it is the man that I think could potentially be the GOAT, Mr. Milos Ninkovic. So you may not get the GOAT for now, but you do get the Honkbar Hogbar Award.
There you go. He'll be happy with that.
There's one for the week for him, yep.
Well, something you didn't expect.
That's absolutely right. I've got my pest of the week, and the pest actually came out of having a fantastic game. And that was Jair. Scores 1 for Newcastle, makes tackle after tackle, and his tackle ends up becoming, I think one pass was the killer ball when he won, and the second one, I think he won the ball, and Newcastle picked it up and went running away for it.
Don't forget, he was also running around after he scored, like he was Cathy Freeman running into the Olympic Stadium with the
torch.
Well,
mate, just give the man a torch.
I did see a lot of Olympics about that. You know when you jump the fence and you run around?
Like, I think his hurdle was good.
High-fiving every person in the whole grandstand. Yeah. I thought that was going to happen, but I think he only got halfway around and he got put back on the pitch.
For me, he's certainly Melbourne City's Pest of the Week.
So he's taken the Daniel Weekbreen Award.
I think he's taken the
Pest
of the Week.
All right, so look, if you've missed anything from tonight's show, you can hear it on?
You can download the Football Nation Radio app or visit the website and listen live or catch up on what you may have missed.
Absolute pleasure, lads.
Thanks again, guys.
Catch you next week.
See ya.